Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this morning is Dr. Jennifer Chewy, the Spinal Cord Injury Medical Director at JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute. Good morning, doctor.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me here.
Wonderful having you here. We're going to talk about spinal cord injuries primarily today. But before we get into that, just give us an overview of what JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute is all about, if you would.
Of course. So JFK Johnson Rehab Institute is a acute rehab facility focusing on a variety of different diagnoses and patients. And so usually we have patients that are coming in with different diagnoses such as a brain injury or a stroke. And what I specifically work with is spinal cord injury. We also have patients who are here for general issues such as musculoskeletal after a hip fracture or Parkinson's or cardiac and palm. And so this is just a touching of the basis of some of the things that we do. And patients are here doing their therapy, trying to kickstart their therapy so that we can help them return functionally and back into the community.
Okay, and you're there in Edison, and I see that you spent some time at Rutgers. You did your residency there?
Yes. So I did my residency at Rutgers New Jersey Medical School, mm-hmm. was association with Kessler Institute. And then I also did my fellowship at Mount Sinai, specifically for spinal cord injury.
All right. So a lot of Jersey there. So let's talk about the spinal cords. Let's start with, I'll be honest with you, when I think of a spinal cord injury, it just tightens me up because it's a scary thing. But just the basics, a spinal cord injury, I guess there's several different kinds, correct?
Yes. So, having a spinal cord injury is a big and scary thing. And so there are different types of spinal cord injuries. We have both traumatic and the non-traumatic spinal cord injury. And the recovery of that can be different based off of how you get your injury. Mm-hmm. And so basically you have your spinal cord is, I like to call it, your connection of nerves that connect the brain to the rest of your body. And it's basically a highway of nerves sending signals from the body to the brain and then from the brain down to the body. And when you have a spinal cord injury, that signal and that highway of nerves get disrupted. And so there's a lot of other things that can happen after a spinal cord injury, such as difficulties with moving, changes mm-hmm. in your sensation, and a lot of other medical things that you don't even think about, that you don't even control, related to either your heart or your lungs, going to the bathroom, related to bowel and bladder. And so having a spinal cord injury is a very big adjustment to some patients, and especially because
sure.
it's a big change to what they were functionally beforehand.
Yeah, and I guess paralysis would be worst case scenario. And then what would be something that you would consider non-traumatic or mild, if that's a word I could use
so
for that?
They're just different categories. So traumatic would be someone who may have been in like a car crash
right.
or a fall or a diving injury, or they were on a bicycle or something like that, and they had some type of trauma to the spinal cord. A non-traumatic would be some type of non-trauma related injury. So maybe an autoimmune disease that is attacking the nerves of the spinal cord injury, having a tumor, or having a stroke of specifically the spinal cord itself. So there are different types of spinal cord injuries, and the recovery is a little bit different for either of those.
Okay, yeah. So, people, when I think of a spinal cord injury, I think of the traumatic one. You know, that's what comes to mind first. But yeah, I didn't even think of the fact that it's some sort of. So, if someone has either type of injury, the traumatic or the non-traumatic, what does rehab for the spinal cord injury entail?
Yeah, so.
I mean, there's different kinds, as you said.
Yeah, so rehab for spinal cord injury is really kind of actually from the start, from when you actually even get your diagnosis. And so when you think about it, usually there's some reason that someone's coming to the hospital, either for they noticing that they're feeling a little bit weaker, or they were in an injury or a fall or a car accident of some sort. And it really starts from when they get into the hospital and having that team evaluate them and start with either the treatment options for them, if it's surgery or if there's certain medical treatments that need to be happening. And usually we would love to have a spinal cord injury or a physiatrist somewhat seeing the patients at the beginning so that they can at least guide the teams towards putting them on the right track. Once patients are medically stable, then we would want to transition patients over to now the acute rehab side, which is primarily what I do for spinal cord injury. And that's this multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary team effort to try and return of their function, working with our nurses, working with our therapists, our speech therapists, our physical therapists, our occupational therapists, our recreational therapists. It's all-encompassing also with mental health, with your rehab psychology, and having the education and also the therapy to try and maximize their function and their independence.
So what's can you give us like a typical example? I guess nothing's typical, right? There's so many different kinds.
Yeah, so everyone's a special snowflake. Every spinal cord is different, and so you kind of tailor it to their needs of what their injury is related. So if someone had an injury in their neck, it might affect both their arms and their legs and kind of their trunk and their core and possibly other different things related to breathing and your heart and bowel and bladder. And then someone who may have an injury a little bit further down in like their trunk or even lower down in their lower back, it may really only affect their legs and their arms are actually still quite functional and weren't affected. And so you kind of tailor your therapy related to what their injury is. And then also having that education of teaching them, this is how things are moving now. Sometimes there is recovery depending on the type of injury they have too, which is always what we're hopeful for.
Full recovery, you mean?
It depends on their injury. So it really kind of, I say there's a difference between a complete or an incomplete injury. So complete injury means there's really no signal getting to the end of the cord. And so an incomplete injury is basically some of the signal is getting through. So if you think of it back at that analogy of that highway of nerves, it's basically like you had a car crash on the highway and maybe only one or two lanes are going through. And then if you have a complete injury, the whole highway got shut down. And so your body is trying to recover and take away all of the car crash, and slowly as things are progressing through time, hopefully more signal is kind of getting through. And so we do try to tailor our rehab for each type of patient of where they are functionally, what we assess them at the beginning. We try to see how they progress through. And if there's in more recovery than not, that's always a great, great thing. Yeah.
So if someone damages one of their vertebrae, it all depends which one it is. What is the L's? And there's different letters, like the L's are the lumbar.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when we talk about our spinal cord injury, we also talk about level of injury. Mm-hmm. So your C's are your cervicals, which are your neck region. Your T's are your thoracic region, which is kind of in your chest area and where your ribs are. And then your L is your lumbar that's going down to your S's, which is then like the sacral, which is the very, very end of your spine. And based off of your level of injury, it can affect different things.
So I hear things like L2 and L3 and L4 maybe. there's different, depending on which one of those is, they're different vertebrae, right? L1, L2, L3, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So those are more down in your lower back. So they're basically your vertebrae are kind of like Legos with jelly donuts in between it. It's like that stacks up to make a giant column. And so your vertebrae is your bones that are supporting your body. Mm-hmm. And in there's a small canal that the spinal cord runs in, and that's what's being protected by the vertebrae. So when you have damage to your vertebrae, sometimes it can also affect the nerves that are running within that tunnel.
So what type of equipment is used when someone comes to see you and they're diagnosed, excuse me, and they go to the proper place for rehab? What type of things do they use? Again, I guess this depends on what type of injury, right? There's so many different types. It's hard to be specific about it.
Yeah, it really depends on their type of injury and what functionally someone's able to do. And so that's part of the entire assessment that we have here is, one, looking at how much function that they are. And I always like to say, just because you're using these types of adaptive equipment now doesn't mean that you may need them in the future. It's a tool that you use in the time period so that you can be as independent as possible. And so it kind of goes from everything from depending on your level. So if you have a high cervical injury in your neck, arms and your legs and your whole body might be affected. And so different types of wheelchairs might be used for these types of patients. Or if someone had an injury lower in their trunk or in their lower back that's affecting just their legs, then a different type of wheelchair might be needed for these types of patients. And we try to fit them to make sure that it's the right fit for them and then ordering them those special equipments. Some of the other things is bracing, splints, things that they can use, adaptive equipment, so that if you have loss of your hand function, you're able to regain some ability to do more tasks. And when you're actually in the rehab facilities, we actually use a lot of different equipment to just try to enhance their function too and try to get more strength and more function back. And those can be some things as when we're working on the mat with our therapists, there is things like functional electrical stimulation in which we're trying to get those connections through to the muscles with the nerves stronger and stimulating the nerves. There's a lot of body weight support to kind of help support the patients to see if they have some function of getting them upright. And so there's a whole different lots of equipment that we can use when we're doing our rehab. And we have a lot of great things here at JFK that have been very useful for helping with that recovery.
So if someone, for example, you mentioned a hand injury, they have trouble, their hand functions. Have there been people who have no function in a hand? They've had an injury. And again, this is from an injury to the spinal cord.
Yes.
One of the plates there, not the donuts, the other thing you were talking about.
Yes, sometimes the donuts can come out and squish on the cord.
They do too. Okay, so anything in there, something goes wrong. And depending on which one it is, for example, which one of them controls the hand?
No, that would be more up in your neck area.
Okay, so it would be a C.
So in the C area. So if you have an injury at anywhere between C1 all the way to C8, you are going to be able to have, or you might have some deficits related to your hands. And so some patients, they don't have a certain function of being able to use their arms. And it really just depends on the level of injury of what the patients are able to do. And so, for example, if you think of the classic example is Christopher Reeves, Superman, mm-hmm. and he's having an injury in his neck, and he had paralysis from like your arms all the way down and possibly affecting your breathing. And so using all of the therapy, using all the equipment, we are able to have patients still living very fulfilled lives with kind of the support that they would need.
What is it in the Christopher Reeve example, and anybody who has an injury like that, what is it about the injury that it cannot be surgically repaired? I know there's a whole bunch of things involved. You have the nerves and everything, but why can't something like that be repaired surgically?
It is, yeah. So there's different parts of the body that get injured when you are injured with your spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So with we'll use the example of a traumatic injury. And so, for example, if you fell off the horse or in the car crash and your neck got injured, not only is it that there is bones and ligaments and nerves that all get injured, bones usually heal pretty good in the sense that once you fixate the bones, have surgery, and that's basically what the surgery is doing, is making sure that you're not having anything squashing on the nerves itself. Mm-hmm. Nerves, I like to say, is when I'm talking to my patients, though, is nerves are divas. They're very sensitive. They don't respond well to kind of any of that trauma, and that's why they're so well protected. Your brain is encased in your skull to try and protect those nerves. Your spinal cord is surrounded by the bones in your spine to kind of in that column with that tunnel in it running up and down. And so while surgery may be able to help stabilize a spine and help healing with the bones itself, there's really not much right now that makes the nerves heal more. Your body itself is the one that's trying to heal the nerves. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's a lot of new treatments, a lot of new technologies that we're trying in the media and everything to see if we can get the nerves itself to heal faster and also to heal better back to more, because the rest of the stuff is the surgeries can only help with certain things.
Right. They're limited with that. Do you think there'll be a day where something, again, using the Christopher Reeve example, that someone can be healed completely from that type of injury?
So there's actually a lot of really, really interesting and really innovative research that's been done for spinal cord injuries. And while all of these are in clinical trials and all in research, so it's not really available kind of for every single patient for every day type of thing. But that's kind of the hope moving forward, yeah, is that eventually getting to that point. And so there's a lot of different treatments. So the first treatment, of course, is if you have something that's squashing or damaging to the cord, stabilizing and removing any damage to the cord itself, and so it allows the body to heal. So that's general kind of standard of treatment at this point for patients. But there is a lot of newer, innovative research that's being done with I know there's a couple studies that are working on stem cells. There are a lot of studies that I think are very promising related to stimulation of the spinal cord itself.
And so this is something they're working on now. But what are some treatments that you've seen through your years of working in this field that have made a significant change?
So as I said, those different types of stimulation.
Okay, so they've been.
Yeah, so those are usually all within a research study of some sort, and there's been a lot of documentation and publications out now. Some are done in Europe. There's some done in the United States as well. There's other places in the world that are doing these things. And basically, we're thinking of it as similarly as your nerves are like your electrical system of your body, having your brain as the computer with the wiring going to the rest of your body. If you can bypass some of the where you have your damage with the stimulation of the spinal cord, you might be able to have regaining of function. And there's been some studies coming out that are very promising that have had patients who have had their injury for quite some time that are actually starting to have even more recovery. And it's not even just recovery of your motor. There's other things medically that it's been showing to help with regulation of what we call the autonomic, so your blood pressure, your heart rate, controlling of your bowel and your bladder. So there's a lot of stuff that the stimulation is just basically trying to bypass and also help with that neuroplasticity of enhancing that signal through the damaged cord itself.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier about the bowel or bladder. You know, when you think of a spinal cord injury, or when many people think of a spinal cord injury, they think of either paralysis or, as we talked about, difficulty using a limb or a hand or something like that. But there are, as you mentioned, there's other things other than that. How can an injury affect the bowels or the bladder?
Yeah, so basically everything in your body that that's keeping you alive has to have some signal from your brain. And so your brain is controlling everything, and even the things that you don't even think about, digestion, your regulating of your blood pressure, your heart rate. There's a lot of behind the scenes work that's going on, and the control of your bladder and your bowel. So your body is naturally, food goes in, food comes out, you drink water, You drink fluids, it has to come out. And so that connection that controls it at the very end of the signal can sometimes get disrupted. And so patients then end up having complications related to your bowel and your bladder. That's very commonly seen with a spinal cord injury. And so that's also part of that whole rehab process, is teaching them about that, educating about that, and also learning how to manage that. Because when it comes back to reintegration into the community, having incontinence or accidents of any sort can be really detrimental to patients wanting to be able to go out and about. And so we want to try to help manage that as best as we can, either with catheters, catheterization, spontaneous voidings, and bowel and bladder programs, to kind of help making sure that they don't have these accidents when they're out and about and they're in their day.
Sure, but prior to that, what does the rehab look like for the bowel or bladder?
So
they lost complete control of it. That's a good example, right? That happens.
For example, if I want to go with a complete loss of every function of the bowel and the bladder, and it depends also on the type of injury too, but we would typically try to start them on a bowel program, in which your goals are really to have consistent bowel program and consistent bowel movements using different stimulations of either medications by mouth or suppositories, to time it so that we can have timed bowel movements kind of on a regular basis. And then everyone poops, and so it's one of those, food goes in, food must come out. And so if we can time it, then we can kind of decrease the chances of having accidents. When it comes down to the bladder, though, the function of being able to void, be able to pee, sometimes is lost. And so we have to be able to empty out, because fluid comes in, the fluid also needs to come out. Mm-hmm. And so there's different ways of either some patients spontaneously are able to void. Some patients are needing different catheters. And so teaching patients either how to use the catheters themselves, or caregivers, if they don't have hand function of which type of management of the bladder, can also be helpful, because you don't want to damage your kidneys. That's kind of the big idea of managing your bowel correctly, or your bladder correctly.
All right, so when people come to you and they have whatever the injury may be, traumatic, non-traumatic, and you put them through the rehab, how long does that last? And again, this is probably a it depends answer, but how long does it last? And then what is the process of putting people back into, reintegrating them into the community?
Yeah, so basically it really depends on your level of injury, and also the kind of recovery of these injuries. Now, many, many, many years ago, if you started having an injury back in the 70s or so, the injuries when you would be in rehab, the stays would be much longer. And so those were on the order of more of months. We are now kind of in this era where acute rehab, I call it like the boot camp, and it's that kickstarting of your therapy. So someone who may have a spinal cord injury that's only affecting their legs, may be anywhere in rehab as short as 2 weeks to maybe even a month or so. And then someone who has a higher injury, so in their neck or something that might be affecting a little bit more, might be in acute rehab for anywhere between a month or a little bit longer than a month. And it doesn't mean that their rehab and their recovery stops once they leave acute rehab. This is really just that jump starting of getting them on the right track towards their recovery and their reintegration. So in a perfect situation and a perfect patient, we would love to be able to have patients here to help with their recovery and then transition home. And then they would continue on with their therapy and with the following of the patients, both in home and then also, as we call outpatient. And they would continue doing therapy in outpatient and continue following with me or following with another spinal cord doctor to help with that management for the spinal cord injury as they transition into the community.
Dr. Jennifer Chewy, Spinal Cord Injury Medical Director at JFK Johnson Rehab Institute in Edison, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's great having you on the program. For more information, go to jfkmc.org. And for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.